Well, howdy y'all. Welcome to episode number 66 of Once Upon a Time in Texas. I'm your host, Michael Mitchell. And as always, I kind of want to start off with just a little bit of random crap, I guess, stuff going on. So we got a lot going on with Scouts right now. I'm starting to plan, we've been planning our summer camps, I guess, for a while now. But now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty since we're looking at heading off to summer camps in right about a month at this point. Troop 1 voted, and they're going over to a camp called Camp Rockefeller over in Arkansas. And pretty pumped about that. Heard some great things and watched a few things and looked at a few reviews and all that. Just looks like a stellar camp. Troop 2... are supposed to be going to Camp Naish up in Kansas. However, we've been having some problems, I guess, getting folks signed up and committed. I don't know why. It just seems like we're always last minute with that troop. And I love my troop, and I love the other adult leaders and parents that are in it. But just seems like we always have a tough time getting it together, and we're always scrambling at the end. And so, I don't know. I guess maybe I need to find a summer camp champion or something next year to kind of lead the charge. But regardless, both camps look great. Both troops are doing great. It's just one of those things. Eagle Scout projects. So, my kids and I went out and helped on a friend's Eagle project out at Wild Bird Rescue. And as you know, my wife's on the board out there, and one of my best friends is the executive director, and one of our former scouts, venture crew members, works there. So got some pretty big ties to Wild Bird Rescue here in town, but they're building a new songbird aviary, I guess, or mew. I'm not really sure what the difference is, but anyway, Mr. Slack is one of our Eagles, well, soon to be Eagle Scouts, one of our scouts from Troop 34 here in town. His mom is a realtor. Great people. I've known both of them for a long time, and just super excited to go out and be a part of that young man's Eagle project. And he'll be wrapping that up here in the next week or so, and then heading off to college. So, My oldest daughter, Lorelei, will be working on her Eagle project pretty soon. She got approved to do a elevated archery stand, I guess, a hunting stand, for lack of better words. It's going to be an elevated stand for the archery range at our local Northwest Texas Field and Stream. And so I didn't know it. She's not big into archery. She kind of hates it, I guess. and she hates it because she's not really good at it. She has a tendency of not liking things that she's not really good at because it's not that she just gives up real easy. She has genuinely tried. But she has a tendency of disliking things that she's not a perfectionist at right off the ball. And we've had to work with her on that. I mean, the girl is 16, but she's got some work to do on that. But that's okay. But anyway, we didn't know that the way you kind of shoot from a tree stand, because of the angle down and everything, you kind of have to adjust a little bit on how you shoot and basically the technique. And so when we were talking to Field and Stream, which all three of my kids love all things shooting, and so, you know, they said, what about an archery stand? You know, it'd be great to have some practice, and that's one thing that we don't have. So she's taking that on, and we're going to be starting on that here for too long. Some other new stuff coming up. I mean, here in Wichita Falls, we've got our two new high schools. The Legacy Leopards and the Memorial Mavericks They are about wrapped up with those schools. They are opening for the 24-25 school year. So my daughter Lorelai will start her junior year as a Memorial Maverick, and my daughter Shanna will start her sophomore year as a Memorial Maverick. And my son Raylan will continue there at McNeil Middle School, where my wife teaches. And so the majority of Ryder High School students are going to Memorial, I think. Maybe about a third are going over to Legacy. It kind of depends on where you live here in town. And I know there's some people upset about it. There's some people happy about it. Like, I'm just thrilled that we've got some new schools for our kids. And, you know, they're going to be pretty damn cool. And so McNeil will eventually move up to what is currently Ryder High School. And I don't know if they're going to change the name of the high school to McNeil, or if they're going to keep the Ryder name and it'll become Ryder Middle School. I don't know. But it looks like there's a possibility that my son may go to eighth grade. Well, he's going to go to eighth grade at McNeil, no matter what. But it may turn into Ryder Memorial School. I don't know. So he's going to get the benefit, I think, of going to a new school. Anyway, just tons of stuff going on. And in other news, I've had some other things going on. Loan stuff hasn't picked up a whole lot yet, but I mean, I understand people are worried about rates and all that other kind of stuff. And I tell folks all the time, you know, marry the house, date the rate, you know, just embrace the suck for 6 months to a year. Buy the house if that's what you want to do, and then we'll just refinance it in a year or so. But, you know, I've had a couple of good loans coming in and helping some good people out. And so that's been a real plus. However, I got an interesting call about 6 weeks ago from a person at the city. And she is the person that has been charged. She is the person that was hired and put in charge of the revitalization project. So a couple of years ago, I guess the city decided it was time to start doing some revitalization in different parts of the city, and they did some studies and all that kind of stuff. And they decided that the 9th, 10th Street corridor was going to be the first place that we go in and do it. And there's going to be grants and all kinds of stuff to help people basically fix up their homes, fix up the area, help businesses. And I just happen to live on 10th Street. And so I'd gone to this meeting where they had a bunch of different city departments and all that other kind of stuff. And I expressed a lot of interest in being involved because, hell, I live here. And not only do I live in Wichita Falls and I want to see it do well, I want to see Texas do well. And so, you know, and I really want to see my neighborhood do well. And so I get this call from this lady and said, hey, you just seemed really excited about this and you've got kind of a big personality. And I thought, well, you know, you're not wrong. And she said, we want you to be on our Wichita Falls Revitalization Committee. Are you interested? And I said, sure. And she said, great, I'm going to put your name down on my list, which it's a good list. I know I'm on other people's bad list, mostly shit list. It happens. But anyway, she said, I'm going to put your name down on my list, and I'll call you when we're ready. And I didn't hear anything for a long time, and I thought, well, crap, maybe she forgot about me. Well, no, she was just waiting to go through, you know, waiting for it to go through city council, which I've got a couple of friends on city council. You know, and sorry, kind of got a little thrown off there for a second. So anyway, I didn't realize it was waiting to go through city council until I talked to one of the city councilmen, and they're like, oh yeah, they're waiting to go, you know, through us and get approved. And anyway, all that's been done now, and we have our first meeting. What's today? The 7th? Yeah, our first meeting is on the 9th, on Thursday. So pretty pumped about that. And so hopefully you guys will be hearing a little more about that. And, you know, whether you live here in Wichita Falls or not, it's a great thing that maybe y'all can suggest to your cities, wherever you live, to go in. So let's go ahead and jump into the meat and potatoes this week. So we know that Texas is big, right? And I know that a lot of y'all listen. I've got a lot of listeners from all over the United States and really all over the world. It's kind of interesting. You know, and I know I've got some folks from Australia that have been listening. Guys, Australia is big. I've never been there. Texas is big too, not as big as Australia and not as empty. But anyway, we're big. We've talked about this before. I mean, we are a big state. We're second in landmass only to Alaska. And we're second only in population to California, I believe, although that seems to be changing. We got a ton of people moving here. Big state, big personalities, big money, and big attitudes, right? And so it's big. People know this. But where can you experience the big of Texas? Like, you know, the bigness, I guess. I don't want to say vastness, because it's not just about landmass, because I just talked about, you know, there is personalities, you know, big personalities. There is big money, you know, lots of money is made here. Lots of millionaires and billionaires live here. There's big attitudes. You know, you go to any Texas football game, whether it's college or high school or whatever, really any sports events, period, you're going to see big attitudes. And so, But where can you really experience this? And I had someone ask me that the other day, and I really didn't have an answer. So here we go. Seven places to feel or experience the bigness of Texas. Now, before we get in and take a look at these seven bigness areas of Texas, I want to thank our sponsors as always. That's me and Victory Home Loans. If you know anyone moving anywhere, we just added another state to Victory Home Loans. We're now in New Mexico. So we're now covering 16 states. I personally am licensed in Texas and Oklahoma. But if you know anybody moving, looking for a house, have them give me a holler. Have them look me up. TheMichaelMitchell.com. TheMichaelMitchell.com. I am a mortgage loan originator. So why use a mortgage loan originator? Well, very simply, we work hard to make that process faster, cheaper, and easier. And just like insurance, like if you go to an insurance broker and they kind of look all over at tons of different companies to find you the best product for what you need, you know, health insurance, life insurance, you know, home insurance, car insurance, all that, we do the same thing. And a lot of people don't understand that. We custom build rates and products and do all the shopping for you. We go out and I know Victory Home Loans, I think we can shop 23 different lenders. Of course, some of those are very specialized, you know, reverse mortgages or land, you know, or just construction loans. We do those too. Some of those are specialized, but we've got 23-ish different lenders that we can go shop. We're getting signed up with down payment assistance programs all the time. Just got signed up with the Wichita Falls, the city of Wichita Falls down payment assistance program. And so, yeah, anyway, I mean, everything else you do in your life pretty much is custom. You know, why wouldn't your mortgage be? And that's what we do. If you go to a bank, you pretty much get one option. When you come to someone like me, you get a bunch of different options. So faster, cheaper, and easier. If you know someone moving, send them my way. TheMichaelMitchell.com when you work with me and Victory Home Loans. Remember, we sell dreams, not mortgages. So where did this week's idea come from? Well, I was speaking to someone the other day in line, as I usually do, because as you guessed it, I'm that guy. Yes, I'm always talking to somebody. And the person mentioned Texas being big, and I was like, yep. But then they asked where they could feel it. And I was kind of taken aback. I was like, what? What do you mean feel it? Like, hello? I'm right here in front of you. You can feel this big personality all you want. But I restrained. I didn't say that. I didn't want to scare him away. So I said, well, you could just road trip across the state. And their reply was like, well, that could be kind of expensive. And then I got to thinking, you know what? They're right. You know, gas prices being like they are, I mean, they weren't wrong. So that got me thinking. So where could one go to really feel the bigness? And I can't think, I don't want to say enormity or the vastness. I mean, that makes it sound like empty, like space is enormous and vast. But that, you know, those words make it feel empty. Bigness, I think, kind of draws everything out. So where could you go feel that? And so I started a search and went down a rabbit hole, as I normally do. And I landed on one of my favorite websites, of course, and I don't know why I didn't go there first. But Atlas Obscura. And it has some of the coolest places to visit all over the world. And you can noodle it down to countries, states, areas, etc. And they always have these off-the-wall or just off-the-beaten-path kind of places that, you know, you may not go to if you didn't know about them. So hence the Obscura part of their title. Cannot recommend this website enough if you are traveling, really anywhere in the world. It's the website where you will find those places that not everybody goes to. So I want to get in, and I'm going straight to their website, and I'm just going to read it from them. And so the title of this little article they did, hit the state's highest peaks, darkest skies, and wildest vistas on this supersized road trip. And so this is a road trip, but you don't have to go to everyone on a single road trip. But the title of this article is 7 Places to Experience Big Wonder in Texas. And here's what they say. Texas is a wide-ranging, diverse, and expansive state. Even the barbecue you'll get from one county to another is never the same, which is true. And the music sounds a little different in the depths of West Texas than it does in the Panhandle. Texas is huge. You've probably heard that. And it offers attractions to match its size. We, Atlas Obscura, have rounded up our favorite places to see the heights and depths of Texas, from its tallest peaks to its heftiest stakes. Put on your 10-gallon hat and your tallest boots and set out on a road trip that'll help you get a sense of just how big Texas really is. So a few of these I've been to, a few of these I haven't. Number one is the McDonald Observatory. Now, I've been to this one. It's way out in West Texas. It's not way out El Paso, but it's close. So the McDonald Observatory, certain places in Texas have become known for their dark skies, which is true. We do have dark skies areas here in Texas. One of them is not far from Wichita Falls, too. So in other words, they are unfettered views of the planets and stars free from light pollution. If you're interested in understanding the vastness of Texas's famous, enormous skies, look no further than Fort Davis's McDonald Observatory. This astronomical observatory was built in 1939 and endowed by a local banker. Today, the observatory is an active research center with astronomers looking into such topics as planetary systems, stars, and stellar spectroscopy. Might have said that wrong. The interstellar medium, extragalactic astronomy, that sounds interesting, and theoretical astronomy. I think they just made that up. It's a theory. Get it? Theoretical astronomy. Even if those words don't mean anything to you, you can still visit and explore the observatory. During the daytime, it offers solar viewing or painless views of the sun. Nighttime programs include special viewing events that allow you to look through a 36-inch telescope into the great beyond. And I'll tell you what, that is just a cool piece of real estate out there. And actually, I was out there on a scout trip, gosh, when I was in my teens. I think we were doing our scuba diving checkout dives. That might have been what it was. And anyway, we were in Balmoray State Park, which I talked about, I think, in my last podcast or a couple back. And we went to the McDonald Observatory, and it was great. And this guide is telling us all about how dark they keep it out there. And then where the big telescope is, apparently they had a problem with the telescope and had to crank on the lights. And it was blinding. We all kind of went, oh! And anyway, I've been out to McDonald a few times. It's incredible. If you get a chance, look it up. McDonald Observatory out near Fort Davis, Texas. Number two, the top of Texas. I have not been to this one yet, but we're going to. My wife and I have talked about taking the kids maybe this summer and going out to the top of Texas, which is Guadalupe Peak, the highest point in Texas. So Atlas Obscura says, West Texas is known for its wide deserts and the quirkiness of Marfa, which we've talked about, the Marfa Lights, but it also includes the state's highest peaks. In Culberson County, the state's highest point reaches 8,749 feet above sea level, a mountain range that was once a vast ancient reef millions of years ago. This is Guadalupe Peak, and its tippy top is marked with a silver pyramid erected by American Airlines in 1958 to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Butterfield Overland Mail Trail, which passed south of the mountains. So it's a silver pyramid with three sides. One side has American Airlines on it. One side has, I think, the U.S. survey, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the other side is a commemoration to the Boy Scouts of America. And so that's part of why we want to go out there. While you don't find any modern-day USPS carriers walking this route to deliver mail, you can enjoy the intense 8.4-mile hike, that's round trip, 8.4-mile, to the peak and back, which includes a 3,000-foot elevation gain from the Pine Springs campground. Make sure you come prepared with water and food, as the desert can get extremely hot in the summer months and the weather can change quickly. So that's part of the hardest part from Wichita Falls for us, is it's about an 8 or 9 hour drive out there, and it's actually easier to go out, I think, maybe through Lubbock and then drop down to it. So you actually go out through part of New Mexico and drop down. So I'm not sure. We're talking about going and doing that. I've done a little research on it, and I want to do that soon. So that's coming. That's coming. Oh, no. My Atlas Obscura account just shut off. Oh, there we go. Dang. I was about to lose it. All right. Number three. And so this is the big personalities and stuff, I guess. Billy Bob's. Billy Bob's over in Fort Worth, Texas. This is the largest honky-tonk in a state known for its honky-tonks. Billy Bob's, which I've talked about before in other podcasts, was opened in 1981 in a space that was once an open-air barn that would house prize cattle for the Fort Worth Stock Show and was converted to a covered building in 1935 by the city. Now, instead of livestock stalls and auction rings, the building features a 100,000-square-foot entertainment center with over 30 bar stations and stages that have played host to some of country music's biggest stars. It's got space for over 6,000 people, and on top of concerts and dancing, offers tickets to live bull riding shows. Make sure you check out the event calendar before you go to figure out who might be providing the soundtrack for your honky-tonk dancing. I've actually not been there either. I've been by it several times. I've just never been in Billy Bob's. But one of my best friends, Jeff Bryant, who lives over in Vernon, Texas, was the CEO and founding member of the country band Ricochet. And so he told me about playing at Billy Bob's several times. And it's always cool to hear his stories and who he played with. And yeah, they were big in country music for a long time. So it's cool to hear his stories. I might get him on the podcast sometime. I need to. He tries to play it down, but he really is. He's a cool guy, even without the Ricochet stuff. So number four, Paladuro Canyon State Park. So we're slipping up to the Panhandle. out near Amarillo. It's one of the most beautiful natural sites in all of Texas and also happens to be the country's second largest canyon. I got to ride this on my Harley years ago. It was amazing. Rode with my dad and some of our other riding buddies. I think the funniest story from that whole trip is we're all just kind of ripping down through the canyon. When I say ripping, I mean we're doing like 40 miles an hour. You know, we're just having a good time, but we're not like, you know, 100 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I see several of the guys pull over, and I kind of thought, what are they doing? Well, there was a creek crossing the road, and everybody was worried about getting their bikes dirty. I just blasted right on through it like it was nobody's business because I had an old Harley and, you know, still do. So, and everybody's like, holy crap, your bike's going to get dirty. And I'm like, well, I'm out here to have fun. But I was young and dumb, and now I'm just older and still dumb. So I'd probably do it again. So you might call this place, Paladura Canyon, the Grand Canyon of Texas. It's 120 miles long and 20 miles across at its widest point, with peaks that reach 3,463 feet above sea level and depths that plunge over 800 feet. Its walls and ridges boast beautiful colors, especially at sunset. Different communities have inhabited the area over the last 12,000 years, including the Clovis and Folsom peoples, who hunted mammoth and bison. Which, just a little side note, if you ever read the book 1491, it's interesting. They talk about the Clovis and Folsom peoples in Texas and some of the assumptions that we heard about the original natives of America could be wrong, and they actually could go back further than we thought. But anyway, regardless, go read that book if you want to know more about it. The Apache, Comanche, and Kiowa people also made use of the canyon's resources. The canyon's most striking and best-known feature is a rock tower called the Lighthouse, which can be reached via road or a three-mile hiking trail. So I think we're going to be doing that also at some point. And while you're out near Amarillo, why not head over? This is another big personality, big food place, okay? The Big Texan. It even has big in its name. Now, I've eaten there several times, and the Big Texan is pretty cool. But what's big about it? Well, it's the steak challenge. Many people consider a serving size of steak to be 3 ounces. The many people they're talking about are not from Texas. Because Texas, everything's a little bigger. So normal serving size is probably like a 6 or 8 ounce. But yeah, apparently, you know, the USDA, the federal government says 3 ounces of steak is good enough. And that may be for everybody else in the world, but for Texas, it's more. Anyway, so a normal serving size of steak is considered 3 ounces. Now take that and multiply it by 24, and you'll get a sense for the Big Texan Steak Challenge offered at the Big Texan Steak Ranch. This restaurant on the historic Route 66 offers a free 72-ounce steak, as well as pride and glory, to anyone who is able to finish it on their own. That's right. If you can eat the whole damn 72-ounce steak, you get it for free. The challenge comes with very specific rules, including once you have started, you are not allowed to stand up, leave your table, or have anyone else touch the meal, and you will be disqualified if anyone assists you in cutting, preparing, or eating your meal. This is your contest. If you fail to finish the steak in one sitting, you'll be charged the full $72 for your meal. Certainly not for the faint of heart or faint of stomach. This is a Texas-sized challenge. If you're not interested in eating over 4 pounds of steak in a single sitting, and fixins, by the way, I think it comes with like a baked potato and some other stuff, you can still enjoy more petite cuts at the saloon-style spot. And they've also got some other great stuff. They have, I was out there once, and I think we had, they served, well, we were on our way back from Philmont Scout Ranch, and we ate there, gosh, I think they served us rattlesnake, bison, which is delicious, and several other things. They've got all kinds of weird off-the-wall stuff. And to be honest, they've got pretty damn good burgers and steaks. You don't have to eat that 72-ouncer. It's good stuff. It definitely looks like one of those sideshow tourist trap kind of places. And to be honest, it absolutely would be if it wasn't for the food. I mean, the food is pretty good. And so, highly recommend. Definitely 5-star from this fat boy that likes his steak. All right, number 6. This is another one with the word big in the title. So, The Big Tree. So, we're slipping way down on the coast to Rockport, Texas. And it's a town that sits along the Gulf Coast, southeast of San Antonio, and just a stone's throw away from the water is one of the state's oldest live oak trees, called, quite simply, the Big Tree. For years, it was crowned as the Texas State Champion Virginia Live Oak, until, in 2003, a tree in Brazoria County outgrew it and dethroned it. Still, this is one of the state's most beloved trees. It is a beloved local landmark, especially after it survived the devastation of 2017's Hurricane Harvey, basically unscathed. It made it. If you've never considered hugging a tree, you might start with embracing this one. And it is a big tree. And so is the one in Brazoria County. I've seen pictures of it too. They're huge. And live oaks, they're pretty. I mean, they're not like your typical tree. When we think of big trees, like I usually think of redwoods. They're these big, pretty, you know, perfectly round trees with the branches up high. Live oak trees are just kind of, I can't really describe it other than they just grow up a little bit and then go, and their limbs just kind of go all which direction. But they're pretty in their own sense, I guess. And so they really are cool trees. And so there you go. And if trees don't get you excited, well, let's talk about the next one. So we're also slipping out to Amarillo area out in the panhandle. We're going to talk about Tex Randall. At 47 feet tall, this enormous cowboy is one of Texas's most beloved sculptures. Erected in 1959, Tex was built from concrete and steel by William Harry Wheeler, a high school shop teacher. Wheeler built it for Wheeler's Western Store on US 60, which, despite the similar name, he had no business interest in. At first, Big Tex had clothes on. Levi Strauss even donated an enormous pair of jeans, but the West Texas winds kept blowing them off. In 1987, after years of wear and tear, a semi-trailer truck crashed into one of his boots, for instance. A local Save the Cowboy campaign raised funds to paint on new and permanent clothes and replace his cigarettes with a spur and offer Tex the much-needed facelift he deserved. In 2003, the government turned the surrounding area into a park and repainted Tex once again. What has remained is locals' love for the unique Texas statue, which has never once faltered or fallen. And it's pretty cool. So it's Tex Randall. And then, you know, we do have another one that is at the Texas State Fair, and I think they call him Big Tex. And he's the big waving cowboy guy that you see. Well, this is not that. This is Tex Randall. So there you go. 7 interesting places here in Texas where you can explore and feel the bigness. So what do y'all think? Let me know what other weird, off-the-wall, interesting Texas history you'd like to hear about. I want to thank our sponsors again, of course, me and Victory Home Loans. If you know someone moving really anywhere in the United States, send them my way. You know, we've got people to do loans in all 16 of these states that we're licensed in, but especially Texas and Oklahoma. If you know somebody moving here, send them my way, themichaelmitchell.com, themichaelmitchell.com. Remember, I sell dreams, not mortgages. and I love making people laugh and smile and help get them into those dream homes. Thank you all for tuning in again to Once Upon a Time in Texas. And as my good friend Michael Battalino likes to call me every now and then and remind me, he loves this phrase. As always, I love to end my podcast with, remember, the stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. Y'all have a great week.